You know, like I always say, it's one of my favorite Sundays of the year because, you know, this group here is, it's been just amazing to watch them grow in their relationship with God. And they've experienced victories. They've experienced accomplishments in their life. You can hear the metal rattling on many of them, right? But they've also, many of them have experienced disappointment, discouragement, loss, pain and grief that's, you know, some, you know, that really they're too young to experience some of the things that they've experienced in their walk, in their life. But the beautiful thing about this group is they continue to pursue God. They continue to reach out to Him. And even in the tough times, as Kim was praying and talking earlier, you know, they just continue to do that. And so it's my honor to get to share with you guys this morning. It's my last time to speak to you as high school seniors, right? And that's kind of exciting for me. So I want you to lean in and listen. And then you guys out there, you can kind of lean in as well and just be a part of what I'm sharing into their hearts, because God wants to speak into your heart as well. We've been in a series that I've just simply entitled Called. We talked about last week that we're all called to this love relationship with our God. Right, that He wants to He loves you so much, then He demonstrated that love to you through the sacrificial gift of His Son, so that you and I could come into a personal, forever love relationship with Him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified. It's just as if you've never sinned. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith in Jesus Christ and are saved. He wants you to be in a personal, forever relationship with Him. And many of us have made that decision and received that grace and come into that relationship. And we are a child of God. And that gives you opportunity then to belong, to be, you know, to fulfill the calling of belonging to other believers, to the family of God, really being a child of God, right? And beginning to figure out how to grow in your relationship with Him. That's what, you know, church is all about. That's what being in community. That's why you guys were involved on Wednesday nights, so that you could begin to understand what it really means to be called to live out your faith. And as you do that, you begin to grow, and what happens, you get to fulfill really another call of God's on your God's call on your life, to really begin to discover His plan and His purpose and His will for you. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about this morning, okay? I begin to think about it. How does anybody ever really know that they're doing what God wants them to do? What guidelines can help us discover and understand and live the will of God? I mean, as you give your heart completely to God, as I said, He wants to transform you from the inside out. And God's definitely not indifferent or uninterested. He has a plan that includes a future and a hope, and that will shape you into the person that He wants you to be wherever you are. And so perhaps, you know, we've been asking the question, well, how do you just know that? I mean, how does anybody ever really know that they're doing what God wants them to do? I mean, isn't it true that life is like a series of crossroads and decision points that a lot of times you don't have a clue what to do, right? For me, that started early in life, right? Do I play this sport or this one? You know, a part of this club or this? I go to this college or this one, right? And maybe for you, do I work here or at this place? What major should I begin to follow? You know, that job or this job? Should I marry him or, you know, should I marry her? Should we have kids, two or five? Do I get a dog and definitely not a cat? You know, do I buy a house or rent this, you know, in this city, or, you know, do I go to this city or that city, to this church or that church? So many decisions, right? And I don't know, how many of you do the pro and con system when you're making decisions? You know, like pro on this side, con on this side. Anybody do that? Anybody do that kind of stuff? That has never really worked for me. You know, I don't know if you're kind of like me. How many of you have tried the fleece system, right? I'll marry her if the light turns green right now. Anybody? Just throw that fleece out there, right? Just throw it out there. Right? Or, you know, if I should go to that college, it won't be raining tomorrow. And just throw it out there. And that seems silly, but you know, we get to the place, well, what am I supposed to do, God? Now, granted, there's some decisions we make in life that aren't that tough, right? Like this morning, you got up to eat breakfast, you know, what do I eat, oatmeal or Pop-Tart, right? At lunch, Big Mac or salad. I mean, you know, do I wear a blue shirt or a red shirt, you know? No big deal, right? It didn't require me to pray or fast or anything to make those decisions. But there are other decisions that are a lot more difficult, aren't they? I mean, when we stand at the intersection of our lives, we wonder, will I ever know that I'm doing what God wants me to do? And sometimes maybe we even back up and ask another question, does God even care? Does He even have a plan for my life, you know, while I'm here on this planet? And if He does have a plan for the seasons of my life, will a regular person like me ever get a clue about it? Well, the answer is yes. And I want us to begin this morning by reading this verse of Scripture together. It's Jeremiah 29. I told the students on Wednesday night this is the verse that most graduates pick as their life verse. And so let's just start right there. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And then I love this part. It says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." And He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Now, I've been learning some things about those plans that God has for our lives. And you know what I'm learning? I'm learning that maybe discovering God's will is not that complicated. I mean, maybe we just make it way too difficult. Maybe it's not like finding that hidden picture in the Highlights magazine. Anybody, you old enough to remember the Highlights magazine? I used to love to go to the dentist's office and sit there and try to find those pictures in the Highlights magazine. It was my life goal. I just loved it. But maybe it's not like standing in front of those magic eyes pictures, right, where you have to really start here and go here, and then you go, oh, I see it. I never see it. Right, but maybe it's not that way. You know, maybe it's not, where's Waldo? Where is Waldo? Maybe it's not this God-sized maze that only really spiritually perceptive people can find. Maybe God's call on our life, maybe it's a great adventure that every single person can get in on. And maybe when God said, "I know the plans I have for you," He wasn't talking about somebody else. He was talking about you and to you. And so I want to share you some things today that I've been learning personally in my walk with God. And it's all about discovering and living and understanding the will of God. Let me just say up front, though, what I'm not going to share with you is I'm not going to be able to tell you whether you should date or break up or what college you should attend or should you go, you know, get out, you know, should you get this job or get into a different kind of work for you guys. I'm sorry, I don't have any specific answers for you. I can give you some suggestions and some directions, right, go Gators, but I don't think God's Word will unfold for us some ways that we can begin. That we will know all those, but I do think God's Word will unfold for us some ways that we can begin to become the kind of people who are listening and living in the call of God every day of our lives. So I want you to remember these things, just things that I've learned along the way. I'm learning this, first of all, that God's call is a whole lot more about who you are than what you do or where you go. God's call is a whole lot more about who you are as a person than what job you do or who you will marry or where you will go, you know, in life. Let's be honest. When we start thinking about God's will for our lives, immediately our minds start going, is it here? Is it there? Is it this? Is it that? Is it this situation or that situation? God, I want a plan, right? I want a blueprint for my life. God, which road am I supposed to go down? And I really believe God is trying to say to each one of us, listen, my call, my will for your life begins with you. It begins with you. My primary role, my major focus right now is not so much where you go to college or who you will marry or what you will major in or where you will live. My goal, my role is all about who you are. Who you are. For instance, what if God supernaturally spoke to you and said that's it. That's where I'm supposed to go. And what if you went to that place and you never allow God to make you into the person He wanted you to be? I mean, think about that. You could be in the right place and the whole time be completely the wrong person in that place and be completely out of the will of God. Not because you're in the wrong place, but because you were not the right person that God intended you to be. If you take your Bible and you start to circle some of the passages that talks about God's will, you'll find that most of them are not about choices and decisions that you make. And even though I've been doing a series on Wednesday nights about decisions, it's not all about that. Those passages that you'll find are about the person we're supposed to become. For instance, this is one of our favorite passages, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. He says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then Paul says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And I love this part about it. He says, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's a will that fits you. That Greek word kind of gives us the image that it was tailor-made for you. I love this passage in the Message paraphrase. It says it this way. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you will be changed from the inside out. He says, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God wants to bring the best out of you. He wants to develop well-formed maturity in you. Listen, when you present all of who you are as a human being to God, that's really what worship is all about. But I want you to remember this. Worship is not an event that you come to. Worship is your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Worship is who you are before God on a daily basis. And I think Paul is trying to say that the heart and soul of worship is to give your heart completely to God and to let Him transform you from the inside out. That's God's will for your life. God is saying to you, would you like to know my will for your life? And you're going, yes, that's what we've been talking about. Come on, yes, God. I mean, I've been praying a long, long time. Clue me in, you know, give me the plan, give me the blueprint. I'm waiting. Come on, tell me which direction. And God says, okay, here's my will for your life. Just give yourself completely and totally as a living and holy sacrifice, that you would no longer conform to the cookie-cutter mold of everybody else around you. That you would renew your mind and transform your way of thinking to God's way of thinking. That you would realize your potential as a human being and be all that I created you to be. God would say, that's my will for your life. And if you're doing that, you can kind of lay your head on the pillow every night, no matter where you are, and know that you're living in the center of the will of God. Now, I know right now somebody is saying, Monty, I know all that stuff, right? But what I want to know is if I should quit my job or not. What I really want to know is it bachelor number one or number two or number three? Monty, what I really want some answers right now. That's what we want to know, right? Because that's a whole lot easier than saying to God, God, I just want to be in your will every day. Listen, discovering God's will for your life begins by saying, Lord, I just want you to make me the person you want me to be. So whether I go to this college or that college, and whether I major in A, B, or C, that what really will happen, God, is that I will become the man or woman who gets out of bed every single day and lives my life becoming the person that you want me to be wherever I am. I love this scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You know, if somebody says to me, you know, they really want to know the will of God, here it is right here. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know what God's will is for your life? You know what God's big master plan is for you? It's that in your life, you will rejoice always. That you will pray continually. That you will be a man or a woman who depends completely on God in every situation, no matter what happens. That you just give thanks. Because that's the way Jesus lived his life. He knew that God had a bigger plan for everyone's life. That's the will of God in your life. And I think God would much rather be the sculptor of our lives than he would be a traffic cop, right? Standing with a whistle and go, this way, nope, this way, stop. Yeah. He wants to mold us, shape us. I think that God longs to get his hands on us to mold us into the people he wants us to become. God's will is much more about who you are than what we do or where we go. And let me just kind of add this as a side note. Always remember this. God takes great delight watching you be you. I mean, he does. You know, I think he says sometimes, how come you weren't more like, I know he doesn't say this, you know, how come you're not more like so-and-so? And God will say, no. He'll just say, why weren't you like you? I created you to be you. I mean, you guys don't get the vantage point that I get right now, but there's a lot of, and I say this often just to kind of keep you humble, but there's a lot of funny looking people in this room. I mean, there is, right? We're all different. Everybody is unique. God made everybody different. And you know, that's one of the reasons I'm a little anxious about being here this morning, because I'm a little different. I just am, right? We all are. I'm just a bowleg. You ever notice that? I'm just a bowleg country boy from Mulberry, maybe preacher, right? That squeaks every once in a while, even at my age. That's just who I am, right? But this is what I know. I am also a treasured child of the Most High God. That's my identity, right? And I'm learning to relax in that and just put my life in the hands of God on a daily basis and worship him with all that he has made me uniquely to be. And guess what? That's God's will for for you as well. Romans 12 says this. It says, the body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. It's talking about us, the people of God, the family of God. It says, each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of His body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioned parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other, preaching to me, right? Or trying to be something that we aren't. God just says, Monty, take great delight in watching you be you. And who you are is a whole lot more important than what you do or where you go. Here's the second thing I've been learning. But, you know, this whole living out the will and the call of God on my life, it's this here. God longs for us to desire Him more than His answers for our lives. You know, my experience is often that while I'm looking for direction, my life can get totally consumed with wanting answers. God, I need to know. I want to know. You've got to tell me right now. And I wonder, you know, I wonder at times if He asks us, I mean, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Or do you just really love my answers? If you're, is your passion for my person? Or is your passion just for my plan? And if I told you the answers, would you take off and run with it, and I wouldn't see you again until you had another dilemma? I think God would say, because sometimes it seems like I'm just kind of the answer guy for you. You get an answer and take off, and I never see you again until you want another answer. And I want you to listen this morning to this. God longs for us to desire Him more than just His answers. And the truth is, when we really start growing and we expand our capacity to experience the person and presence of God, we will start finding answers. David says in Psalms 27:4, he said, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. And you would think that he might ask God for something really big. Notice he doesn't say, God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to tell me this. I want you to show me this. I want you to change this. I want you to work this out. I want you to fix this. I want you to let me know this. No, David says, God, one thing I ask of you, Lord, and this is what I seek. And look what he says. Look what he asked for. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. I just want to know you, God. He's saying, God, if I could just get one request, it's not going to be, is it here or is it there? Is it him or is it her? Is it this way or that way? God, my one request is this. I just want to know you. And I want to get close to you. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I've shared this with you before. I have definitely got this one backwards a few times. I don't know about you, right? But I have. You know, I say this, God, give me the desires of my heart, and then I will be delighted. That's not the way it works. God says, you delight yourself in me first. Delight yourself in me first. If you delight yourself in me, then your desires will become my desires, and my desires will become your desires, and your wants will become my wants, because I know you better, God says, than you know yourself. I see the big picture, which you don't see. You and I, we just see this little snapshot, right? Right now. What's going on right now? And what I need to do is I need to become the, God says, what you need to do is to become the delight. I need to become the delight of your life. And when that happens, when you're in that kind of relationship, look what it says in Psalms 32:8. says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And I think God is saying, just stretch out your hand to your Maker. Monty, I just want to walk with you. I just want to guide you. I'm not interested in the path that you choose. I'm not indifferent about what option you're going to go with, which road you're going to go down. I just want you to want to walk with me. I just want to know that you desire me more than the answers for your life. So just stretch out your hand and I will lead you in this close, intimate relationship. There's another thing I've been learning when it comes to God's will is this, is that our role is not so much to find God's will as it is to follow God's will. I love the verse of Scripture in Matthew where Jesus is walking around the Sea of Galilee, and I don't know if you remember the story, he sees these fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and he just simply says in Matthew 4:19, he says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. These guys didn't say, could you give me a little more? Could you be a little bit more specific? I mean, where are you going exactly, Jesus? These guys didn't have a clue, right? But they knew that Jesus did. And so they just followed him. They just followed him. And I've shared with you my story many, many times, right? You know, at just a few years older than you, maybe even your age, 19 or so, you know, my experience there on Florida Field where I just surrendered everything to my God. And I still didn't have a clue about what that meant, but I just knew that that's what he was calling me, to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? To love him with all my gumption. And so I just surrendered there in that moment with him. I want to be honest with you. Life didn't become perfect. It actually got a little tougher. But I began to walk in relationship with him, and I began to experience this closer relationship. And then I'm sure, when Kim and I were just, 24, 25 years old, and we were on a trip with a bunch of students in the mountains of Tennessee, and we were, sitting on a mountain having a quiet time, and Kim and I just both felt in our spirit that God was saying, this is what I want you to do, to share my love with students and families. And I didn't have a clue what that really meant. I mean, I just went back to doing what I was doing and trying to make sure that as opportunities happened that I would be obedient and step into. I mean, I didn't have a clue that I would ever be a preacher. I mean, I didn't have a clue that God would lead Kim and I into ministry and that we would serve students for the next 12 years of our life, which, is why I've lost all this hair. Which is not totally true. I mean, I had a ton of hair when I started in this ministry. It's just when I began to deal with the adults that I began to... Easy. But I knew though this. It's been a great adventure. It's been a great adventure with our God day by day, following Him. And I've learned that a lot of stress goes out of my life when it's enough to know that there is a master plan for my life, but I don't have it. I know where it is. It's not in my office. It's not in my house. It's not in my hands. It's not even in my mind. I know where it is. It's in the hands of my God. And that's enough for me. That's enough for me to know that. My job is not to go out and search through this haystack of this world trying to find the needle of God's will for my life. And my job is to be so dialed into a relationship with God that I can hear Him speak every day, that I can have the courage to stay in step with His Word, with His voice guiding me. And I think sometimes we keep waiting for God to reveal this big master plan. We keep waiting for Him to say, this is my will for your life. And we say, come on, God, let me know your will for my life. And God says, okay, Okay, here it goes. Pick up your socks. Put the lid back down. Go back in there and apologize to your kid. Go back in there and kiss your wife. Make that phone call right now. Go encourage the guy over there. I mean, he looks really lonely. Stay calm in traffic, Monty. That family could use some help. They're hurting, and you've got means to help them. Come on. Forgive your dad. Write that note. Stop by that nursing home. Sign up for that ministry. And we say, no, God, you don't understand. What I'm asking is, I want to know your will for my life. I want a sign, right? I want to hear from you. Listen, God speaks to us all day, every day. If we'll just stop focusing on the big picture stuff, which He has got under control, okay? And just begin to listen and obey the quiet promptings and the small, everyday things that He brings our way. That's when we really start to live. That's being in God's will. And so my role is to follow the leadership of God as He gently gives it to me. And that's your role. That's your call. Just to follow the leadership of God as He gently gives it to you. To obey Him. To walk in step every single day with His Word. With His guiding eye and His voice as He gives you and me leadership in life. Obeying Him even in the little things. That's what He's calling you to. And as you do that, God starts to unravel this master plan for your life. And trust me, you look back years later and you go, wow, this is unbelievable. I was just simply following God in the little things. And look what has happened in my life. Now, let me just say again, it doesn't mean life's going to be perfect. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be heartache and struggles. Because listen, we live in a sinful world. But you get there after following Him and being obedient to Him. And you go, wow. Even through tough stuff, He's with me. He's fulfilling His plan. I love John 10:27. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. And I've shared with you many times, you know, I grew up raising cattle. I went to the University of Florida. I was an FFA guy. I majored in ag engineering. I took a lot of livestock production classes. I was a cowboy, you could almost say, right? And I had a friend who raised sheep. And I always thought, you know, boy, sheep are like the sissy livestock, right? And the reason I did is because I began to learn just how dumb sheep are. And I really would say that sheep are the dumbest animal in the animal kingdom. And if you love, I'm a lover of sheep, but they're dumb, all right? They die easy. They follow each other right off the side of the hill. They're scaredy cats, right? I mean, sheep will sometimes be in a huddle and thunder and lightning comes and it hits all of a sudden. Sheep have been known to die because it scared them to death. And that's true. They get all kind of parasites, all kind of diseases. They don't have knees, and so they kind of walk like this. Isn't that right, Dave Rao? Just like this. So they're so clumsy, they get turned over in their feed trough and they go, help me, help me, help me. And I always used to say, God, why do you compare me to a scared, die easy, always get sick, sissy sheep? We're not that way. I'm not that way. And then He gives me just a moment. And I begin to realize, uh-oh. Yes, I am. But here's the great thing about a sheep. They hear incredibly well. So as a shepherd will walk through his sheep and begin to sing or begin to speak, all the "I don't see too well, scared, die easy" sheep would hear his voice and would follow him. And he would lead them with his voice. And as a result, listen to this, as a result, they would end up in the place he always intended them to be because they just followed him. I want to learn my God's voice like that. I mean, you know people that you just, right when they call you, you know their voice. You got friends like that. I mean, they call you, you don't even have to see their name. You know, I mean, when Kim calls me, I know her voice, right? I mean, I just automatically, I know her voice. And whatever she says, I do, I follow. I've learned that. I so want to know my God's voice. To be so close in relationship with Him. That when He speaks in my spirit, when He speaks with His creation, when He speaks through His Word, when He speaks through other people, that in my spirit I know that it's Him. And I just follow Him. I'm learning. It's not my job to sift through all the stuff to find God's will. My job, your job, is to be so dialed into a relationship with God that when He does speak, I can hear His voice. Then I need to courageously step out and follow Him. And listen, I don't fully understand this call on my life. I don't. Right? But here's what I do. I just wake up every day and say, wherever God you want to take me in my life, sign me up. This is the last thing I've been learning. God is more concerned with our character than He is our comfort. God didn't call us to be comfortable all the time. God simply called us to follow Him, to get out of our comfort zone and let Him shape our character and make us to the people that we're supposed to be so that we can make the biggest difference in this place. The biggest difference we can make with this one life that we get to live. Here's what we have a tendency to do as Americans. We set up a canvas, right? And we paint, you know, we want to paint this picture and we say, God, this is your will for my life. And it looks like this, right? And, you know, it falls somewhere in this frame. And God, if that'll happen, if you'll put it somewhere in this frame, well, then that'll be cool. I'll be cool with that. I like that. Just make sure you keep it in this frame. And our American culture comes along and helps us kind of paint it by saying, here's the master plan for everyone who lives here in the great United States. This is what the plan looks like. You're going to go to school. You're going to make good grades. You're going to get a good offer. You're going to go to the right college. You're going to get with the right firm. You're going to, you know, project the right image. You're going to wear the right kind of clothes. You're going to make the right kind of moves. You're going to climb the right ladder. You're going to make the big bucks. You're going to find the right guy or girl. You're going to live in the perfect home with two cars, two kids, two dogs, a cul-de-sac, a nice big shaded tree in the backyard with a swing. Your kids are going to grow up and be perfect, right? They're going to grow up and get a scholarship and go off to college and so on, so on, so on. And that's the frame. And I think somewhere along the way, God is trying to say, excuse me, but did I say somewhere that the reason I created men and women was to live in the United States and to enjoy all the things that just make you comfortable? Did I say somewhere that my will for everyone is to get ahead in the world's terms? Or did I say that my will is for every person to burn with passion for my person, for my purposes, and to live lives that are molded into the image of my Son, Jesus Christ, and to walk out of here and make an eternal difference with their one and only life wherever I lead them? God says, that's what I'm calling you to. I'll close with this verse. Mark 8:35-36, it says, if you insist on saving your life, if you insist on just being comfortable all your days, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose every opportunity to do something great with your life. Only those who throw away their lives, kind of like in a reckless abandon in faith, for my sake, God says, and for the sake of the good news, will ever know what it means to really live. To really live. And that's what I want to do. I just want to really live. And it's my prayer that that's what you want to do. That you want to step into that personal forever relationship with your God, knowing that He knows best for you. That you want to be a part of a community of faith, the family of God, and begin to grow. And as you grow, begin to step out of here from this season of your life into His perfect will for your life. Obeying Him, following Him, worried about who you are in Christ more than about what you do or where you go. That you just want to really live in a relationship with Him. And allow Him to fulfill and unfold His will for your life. That's my prayer for you. And that's my prayer for us. Let's pray together. God, it's my prayer that You will help us to begin to understand and to see that in order to really live, God, to really be successful, that it comes from being who You want us to be, God. To get to that place where we say, okay, I'm going to surrender it all to You, God. And God, I want to understand it's more about me becoming like Christ. It's more about me having a passion for You than a passion for just Your plan. So God, right now, today, and maybe this is your prayer, I'm going to surrender all of me. I'm going to offer my life to You, God, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to You. God, I pray that You help us not just to allow ourselves to conform to the pattern of this world, but God, that these students, that each of us in this room would allow You to transform us from the inside out, so that, God, we might become the people that You've created us to be. And God, You say that when we do that, when we live that way in a love relationship with You, then we'll know Your good, pleasing, and perfect will. God, that's my prayer for our seniors. That's my prayer for all of us. It's my prayer for me. God, thank You so much for Your call on our lives. God, I pray that we might wake up each day and have a desire to follow You, that we might desire to be in relationship with You that is so close. So close, God, that we really begin to be able to hear Your voice and to know Your voice, and to simply every day, in big things and in little things, be able to say, we follow You, God. We will say yes to You. So will You seek? Will You seek Him with all your heart so that you can find Him and allow Him to fulfill His plan and His will in your life? God, that's what I want to do. I just want to really live for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.